Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
It will prepare your heart for what to expect. So it's important that I reiterate to us the purpose, the reason for Faith Life Conference. You know, God instructed us to have an annual Faith Life Conference till Jesus comes. And he gave us a reason for it. You know, it was ordained of God to stir us up in our holy minds and to give us this bravery, the spirit of bravery afresh for purpose. You know, we all came into this world and God has a plan for us. See, after me, say, God has a plan for me. Come on, say it. Say, God has a plan for me. And there are a lot of God's children that are actually in the know of God's plan for their lives, but they aren't walking in the path. They aren't doing nothing. Not because they don't know, but because there is no enough spiritual push. And that's what Faith Life is meant to fulfill in your life, to grant you supernatural strength, that by the word of prophecy, you'll be projected into God's plan for your life. That by the laying of hands, if need be, you will be projected into God's plan for your life. That by the word of prophecy and the teaching of faith, you'll receive insight. That's the purpose of Faith Life Conference. You see, you have to understand that this church, we are a teaching ministry, right? Amen? So sometimes it's always good to teach. You know, we say Faith Life Conference. You have to understand because there's a strong teaching ministry in this assembly. So what we say faith, you agree with me that in scripture, like I've said several times, that the word faith is one of those words in scripture with several nuances. Because in all of scripture, there is no word that's omnibus. No word means the same thing across board. K-N-O-W in Genesis, referring to Adam and Eve and God giving them their son. The word know there is different from the know you would read in 1 John 5. So know, for instance, has different meaning in Genesis as it has in John. So no word in scripture means the same thing across board. Your safest guide to know the meaning of a word in scripture is context. So the same thing with the word faith. Faith is one of those words in scripture with several nuances. So you find faith, for instance, in Hebrews 6, talking about the doctrine of faith, a manner of teaching called faith. Our Christianity is called the faith. Can you see that? So you have another instance in Ephesians 2 when the Bible speaks about we being saved by grace through faith. So he's talking about faith there in the context of salvation. The same thing in Romans 10 from verse 13 through 17. So you're going to find all of these many times you hear Peter says those of us with like precious faith. Talking about the Christian faith. So they mean different things. But when you read Luke 18, for instance, you're going to find Jesus commending of a woman's insistency that her right be doled out to her, speaking to an unjust judge, that the unjust judge will avenge her of her adversary. And Jesus regarded her insistency on her right as faith. So that faith in that context is not the doctrine of faith. That faith there is not faith in the context of salvation. He is talking about the never give up kind of faith, the bulldog faith, the charismatic faith, the mountain moving faith, demon quaking faith. We need that sometimes. The audacity to stake your life on a conviction you've gotten from God in His Word. That you know this is the right thing and you aren't going to give up because of the contrary situations. You're going to go ahead because you are convinced in the Word. That's what we're looking at in Faith Life Conference. Because it is not everyone that has gotten instruction from God that is actually doing it. I bet to tell you there are many Oyedepos, there are many Chris Oyakilomes, there are many Agins out there doing something completely opposite of what God sent them. There are many Adeboyes still in academia trying to become VC. And they would. And do you know what? The tragedy of life is for you to be successful at the wrong thing. There is one of the most crazy things on earth for you to succeed at what God never sent you. So one of the things Faith Life Conference does to you is to, by the Spirit, uproot you from every fruitless adventure. Is it wrong relationship? God is going to uproot you out of it. So that's one of the things Faith Life Conference is meant to, you know, fulfill. So God has given, a lot of people have a dream of what God has for them, but they don't have the inner energy, the inner strength, the strength of character and the fortitude to look away from all things unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. So Faith Life Conference is designed to put some fire inside. Glory to God. So that if you were called to be a pastor and you've been rolling around just because you want to feed yourself, you're going to wake up one morning and grow up. So that if you've been in the wrong relationship, you've been sleeping together, having sex, and you say, I love him. And the Holy Ghost is taking that mumuness away from you. Sorry, those of you listening outside the country, mumuness means foolishness. It's a vernacular for foolishness. Or you are in a form of a quagmire, and you don't know how to find yourself, take yourself out of it. Faith Life Conference is designed to rid you of every debris that is not consistent with God's plan for your life. That's what Faith Life Conference is designed for. Glory to God forevermore. Because you see, when you read the Word of God, all through the Scripture, you're going to find out that everyone God ever used, it took them through the school of bravery. Because we need to be brave. Do you know what God told Joshua? Repeatedly, he said, be courageous. Be very courageous. Because it takes courage to focus on the major in spite of distraction, in spite of legitimate reasons to quit. It takes courage. And so, this is why Faith Life Conference was instituted. So everyone that God used in Scripture, it took them through the school of bravery. Look at Abraham. Abraham's dad was a Syrian going to perish in the land of Ur. And God called him out of his family and said, come out. I will make a great name from you. And through you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Abraham said, okay, that was in Genesis 12. And you see, Abraham... You see, a lot of times when we talk about faith, one of the most brilliant things I found out about faith in Scripture is that those that actually walked in faith in Scripture, like real big-time faith, those that you consider as great men of faith, I mean, it's a beautiful discovery for me. That those who actually walked in faith in Scripture, those we see as example of people who walked in faith in Scripture, like Abraham, like Jesus, it turned out that they weren't even conscious of walking in faith. They just aligned with God's will. And then it carried them on. So Abraham, God had intention of bringing salvation to the world. He picks Abraham and says, this is my plan. I have a salvific plan for the whole world. Then you are going to be instrumental. So I will make a seed from you that will, through that seed, the whole family will be blessed. Galatians 3 tells us that seed is Christ. So all Abraham did was to align with God's will. And what we read in Scripture was he walked in faith. Because faith simply means walking with God. The same thing with Jesus. In the volume of book, it is written of men to do your will. Boom. He aligned himself. So, you see, F.F. Bosworth was right after all when he says, faith begins where the will of God is known. Makes no difference how much of force you exert yourself onto. If it is not God's plan for your life, it's just going to be like swimming against the tide. So people struggle in their faith talk because they haven't personally ascertained the will of God for them. See, if it's the will of God, it may look tough and rough, but inside, there will be strength to take you through. So this is an amazing discovery I found in the Word of God. That while people speak so much about eagles, that how eagles can fly, can see from far, did you know that eagles didn't know that he's taking his time to do all those? Because he was born to do it. So faith, therefore, is finding God's will and aligning yourself with it. A lot of people are trying to present to God to bless their own intention, their own desires. Meanwhile, the blessed thing is to find the blessed work of God, is to find the blessed will of God that is already blessed. Align yourself with it, and then faith becomes so easy in such instance. Faith becomes easy in such adventure when you are just aligned to God's will. It's amazing. But in spite of that, everyone God used in scripture, it took them through the school of bravery. For Abraham, it took him out. Some of you, what you just lack is exposure. Exposure. That's what you need. Many of you. So God took Abraham out and says, come out! Count the stars! He was working on his mind. Some people can't see beyond their village in Otukpo. They can't see beyond their backyard. Some people, their attitude changed the moment they get a few thousands. Because they can't think big. They can't think of having billions and being a blessing to the world. So what God does is he works on your mind because your mind can limit you. Look at God's people. They were going to enter the promised land. God had to work on their mind. Give me Deuteronomy 11 and verse 10. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 10. I said, everyone God used in scriptures, he took them through the school of bravery. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 10, he says, for the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come. They have left Egypt, but Egypt has not left them. So God had to work on their minds. He says, for the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by your foot as a vegetable garden. You know, in Egypt, I wish I have time to explain to you. In Egypt, there is a way they irrigated. They had this pipe, this conduit. You know, Egypt is one of the first civilizations. So they had this conduit pipe passed on. So there's a way it is that all they just need to do is to match their leg as they are, you know, plowing with their whatever. They match their leg like this, then water will spring. So they were irrigating with their legs. And that was quite, you know, laborious. So God is saying, hey, don't carry that mentality of poverty, mentality of hard labor into this new promised land. He says, for the land which you go to possess is not that the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by food as the vegetable garden. Verse 11. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys. Somebody say hills and valleys. Which drinks water from the rain of heaven. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God had to work on their minds. He had to work on their mind. Some people, for instance, they are in the university, but secondary school brain is still in their head functioning. Some people, all right. So it's God had to work on their minds. He says, a land for which the Lord your God cares, the eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year till the very end of the year. Hallelujah. Somebody said, that's me. So everyone God ever used in scripture, it took them through school of bravery. Like Abraham, he had to enlarge his mind, his imagination. Took him out and says, count the stars. That's what Faith Life Conference is designed to do for you. To enlarge your imagination, to enlarge your capacity. To help you see beyond your nose. Talk about Joshua. In fact, in Joshua's case, God took him out and says, see, Joshua 6 verse 2, see,
I have given Jericho into your hands. Hey, do you know what Jericho? Jericho was a fortified city. The walls that surrounded Jericho were so thick that Rahab's house was on the fence. Do you imagine building a house on a fence? The fence was so thick. It looks impenetrable. That's why one of the greatest miracles people don't realize in scripture is the falling down of what the wall of Jericho. I repeat, one of the miracles in the Old Testament that people don't necessarily realize or that skips their study of how huge the miracle was how God's people brought down the wall of Jericho. Because that wall, we were told, all right, that two lorries can pass without touching each other on it. So when he says it fell, don't start thinking that, okay, the wall fell down. Because the truth is, if the wall fell this way, the height it will form is still enough to be a fence. So what actually happened was that, look, it was the earth opening its mouth to take the wall. So every challenge in your life, the Lord will open it and receive it. That's the real miracle that occurred. So it wasn't something fathomable, all right, from the natural mind. So God had to work on Joshua's mind. Bible says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see. Somebody says, see.
See.
Say it again.
See.
See, I have given Jericho into your hands. See, when God told Abraham, after he separated from Lot, God told Abraham, he says, see, I have given you all these lands as far as your eyes can see. So, will Abraham now go to the high mountain and say, okay, I can see that place. My eyes can see it. No, he's talking about seeing with your heart. It's so important in the school of faith that the largeness of your imagination determines the outcome of your possession. So God worked on the mind of everyone he ever used. Is it Jeremiah? Jeremiah was even saying, ah! You know, Jeremiah is a Yoruba man. He said, ah! You know, the Yoruba shout, ah! Ah! He said, ah! I'm a child. And look at what God said. God said, no, don't say you are a child. For I will be with you. My hand will be on your mouth. And with your words, you will pull down nations. You will plant and uproot. Jeremiah was thinking of himself as some toddler that can do nothing. But God says, no, don't see yourself as a child. You see, God has to work on his mind. Or is it Gideon? Oh. The Midianites, they were stealing from God's people because they were under serious oppression of the Midianites. Such that the Midianites will wait for them to grow their crops. And when it is time to harvest, the Midianites will come and take their crops from them. So Gideon, like a few of them, will take their crop and go to a gentle, quiet place to separate the corn from the cob. So while Gideon was there trying to do his thing quietly, hiding from the Midianites to come and seize it from him, the angel of the Lord came there and said, thou mighty man of valor. You know what he said? Guy, I know they want me. That's what he said. That's what Gideon said. Did you read the Bible? He told the angel, he says, don't want me. Say, you don't want me. That's what Gideon said. Of course, it's not saying they want me, he said. But you know what I'm saying. He said, what? Have you come to deceive me? Where are the miracles? Who is the mighty man of valor? All the miracles we were told, where are all the miracles they told us? Can't you see the Midianite is killing us every day? The Lord said unto him, I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianite as one man. And look at the response in verse 17. Then he said to him, no, before this, go back to verse 12. Go back to verse 12. Judges 6, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And look at his response. He says, Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? In other words, say the why meaning. And where are all these miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. In other words, my clan is the poorest, and I am the poorest in the poorest family of the poor Manasseh. Like, my name is John Poor, I am poor, poor. He was looking at the wrong thing. I said he was looking at the wrong thing. He was looking at the wrong thing. God had to work on his mind and says, don't worry, I'll be with you, I will go with you. Guess what? Gideon was not convinced enough. Gideon had to put God to test. Gideon said, okay, just to be sure, I'm going to put a wool on a dry ground. Let there be water everywhere, but let this wool alone be dry, if it is true. And you know one thing with God? I told you, the issue of faith. See, I told you, the issue of faith is almost unnecessary for the one who is in the will of God. It was God's will to actually save Israel from the tyranny of the Midianites. So even with all the bargain, unbelief, all the bargain that were form of unbelief that Gideon was having with God, God didn't take an offense from it, because he was saying, if it is true, let everywhere be wet and let this wool be dry. Guess what? God obeyed. The same thing with Moses. Have you forgotten? Moses began to give excuses. Hey, I'm a stammerer, I cannot talk. God says, I know, I created you. You can't be educating me about you. I made you. He says, no, use my brother Aaron. At some point, Moses began to complain. Who will I say send me? Okay, God says, tell him that it is I am. I am. No, you can see these people we mention as examples of faith in scripture. They weren't even so much of perfect in their faith walk. They did so much only because they were in the will of God. That's why I say F.F. Bosworth was right after all when he says, faith begins where the will of God is known. Interestingly, most of these guys we give as examples of faith didn't even know they were walking by faith. They were just blessed to know the will of God and stick to the will of God, which is already blessed. So a lot of people are only trying to say, God bless this one. And God is saying, hey, my will is blessed, aligned to it. Lord, so a good Christian will say, Lord, what are you doing in this time and season? Don't do it without me. Lord, what are you doing in this assembly at this time? Let me plug into it. Let me plug into it. I mean, look at this little rascal. He was tempting God. Guess what? God did it. Then again, he says, I'm not sure. If it is you again, I'll put this wet wool here. I'll put this wool here. Let everywhere be dry. Let only the wool be wet. Don't you understand? It's like saying, God, let rain fall. I'm going to put a wool outside. Let rain fall heavily, but that wool should be dry. See, there is something about when it is, you see, there is something about when it is God's intention to do a thing. You already have a platform to negotiate, because God has no option. Since God was going to rescue Israel from the Egyptians' tyranny, even though Moses was there in unbelief, negotiating with God and all of that, God was ready to dance to his tune, because it was the will of God. Do you get what I'm saying? This is how to walk in easy faith. I mean, if now I have found favor on your side, then show me a sign that it is you who talked with me. You know, a lot of Christians still quote Gideon as an example that, okay, Lord, if it is you want me to marry that guy, let him wear blue. Let him wear blue tomorrow. And then the devil will hear that. And then he will go and tell him the next morning, the guy will wake up. Maybe the guy will wake up in the morning singing Timeless. Then go take her. Then go easy. Davido, take her. Tomorrow again. He's just dancing, rubbing pomade on his body. Then the devil will just whisper to him, after all, he's his kid anyway. Guy, eh? Wear blue. That blue go fine today. And then the guy wears blue, shows up in class, says, you speak in tongues. You are in trouble. You casting fleas, you are in trouble. Lord, there are these three guys, the women. Lord, if the one you want, let him be the one that will come the third time. See, Christians don't get led that way. Lord, if you are asking me to do this, let this happen. Don't do that. Don't put God in such test. Anyways, the point I want to make is everyone God uses in scripture, God had to encourage them. That's why Faith Life Conference is important. You need encouragement. You need to be encouraged. Encourage, courage. You need courage. Do you know how many times the Bible spoke, God spoke to Joshua to be courageous? 7 times. Be courageous. One time God says, be very courageous. I mean, God, imagine if God is, see, if God is encouraging you, you know you're in trouble. Do you get the joke? I don't know if you get the joke. I mean, God comes to you and is encouraging you. Says, you have to be courageous. God. I thought God should say, don't be afraid. Go. Just don't worry. But God has to come and encourage. Because God knows that. Listen, one thing about God. God does not skip steps. It's like your child. When your son that wants to write WAEC, West African Examination Council. And he's already fidgeting. Like, daddy, I don't know that exam. I don't know how it's going to be. You have to encourage him, right? Because you can't write it for him. Come on. You can't write it for him. So you have to encourage him because what he's scared of is something he has to go through. Come on. So it was okay for Joshua to fidget. Like, how can I lead 3.5 million people? It's like, imagine Baba Adeboye now just give me a call and say, son, I want you to be the new GO of Redeem, even though you are still your pastor of your church here, no problem. And imagine God telling me, yes, it is actually my plan. Of course, I won't go, except God says, because my ministry is authentic. Amen. I'm not moved by the size of Redeem anyway. But we thank God for what God is doing in his life. So how do you think I will feel? I will say, Daddy GO, you mean I should go be the new GO? Glory! La Mumu go rejoice. Because that ministry, you have one meeting, 7 million people. How do you pastor? You know, I am pastoring just a few hundreds. I'm already having a headache. You know what it means to pastor millions? This one will come. I don't know the way Sister X spoke to me. Anyhow, the way you look at me, carried me down, put me down. Imagine dealing with 7. Do you know how many million people? So Joshua was afraid. How am I going to pastor 3.5 million people? He knew all that Moses went through. Moses was a meek man, yet Moses did not enter the promised land because of anger. See, they were so unpersuadable that they made a meek man become angry. Numbers 12:3 says, Moses is the meekest man on the earth. Meekest. He's so gentle. Gentleman, yet he was deprived from entering the promised land. Because of his anger. The people were so rebellious that they made a gentleman become angry. Now think about that. So Joshua was scared. God had to encourage him. He says, be very courageous. Despite that Moses has laid hands on him in Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, God still had to encourage him. So you need courage in life. You may lose a loved one. You need courage to forge ahead. You lose your mom, you lose your dad or anybody or something. You need courage. See, we all need that courage. Coming to this land for me was a lot of courage. But I'm glad I obeyed. You are the fruit of the obedience. Amen?
Amen.
You need courage. And what is courage? To consistently doing something you are convinced on in spite of distraction, in spite of contradiction. in spite of contradiction. Okay, how do you explain that God says to a man that he will be a father of many nations and yet no children? In spite of contradiction, courage. How do you explain God spoke to a man that he spoke to him through a dream that people bowed down to him? Then the next thing, he was in the pit. Imagine God gave you a beautiful vision and then the next day you're already in the pit and you're like, but I saw a vision of my siblings buying to me. The next day he's already in the pit. And right from pit, he was sold to slavery. Listen, a lot of people don't have idea of slavery in those days. Don't think slavery in those days is houseboy that you do nowadays, where you just go and wash for them and clean for them. Those days, if they want to sell you for slavery, if you are a guy, they will strip you naked. They will open your bum bum. They will check everything. They will check everywhere. Slaves those days are sold naked, I know you watched those movies of Jesus, how he was nailed on the cross and then they put on clothes. It was just because of movie. They normally strip them naked. If you want to sell a slave, because they inspect the body. Hope he does not have a scar. Hope there's no anything wrong in his body. Hope his feet. Somebody who had a dream that people were bowing to him. Is that not what nowadays they will say? The next thing you see him on Twitter, I'm in depression. I'm depressed. Why is he depressed? Indomie finished. Someone is a courage. So everyone God used in scripture, it took them school through the school of courage, bravery. You have to be brave. Be brave in heart. Refuse to give in to the circumstances. Tell yourself, I can do it. Have the I can do mentality. Hallelujah. So that's why Faith Life Conference was instructed of God. So I'm just preparing your mind in this first session. So that evening session, when the man of God comes, of course, there will be a breakout session by 12 noon. But evening when he comes, so that you can get ready, invite all your friends. I know many people were in classes, so they did not attend. All right, invite all your friends. Let's fill all these chairs. Coming with a great anointing. Praise God. So just to prepare you ahead, because I have just 19 more minutes. If you ask me, what do I desire of you all in preparation for Faith Life Conference? One thing, I want you to have a balanced expectation. See, it pains my heart. As if I will occur to you that you have a young niece or a very little kid sister, and he comes to you or she comes to you and say, Auntie, you are going out? Yeah, I'm going out. See you putting a nice cologne. Yeah, I'm going out. Do you want to go with me? I cannot go with you. Okay, so what do you want? Tell me, and that morning, maybe you received an alert from one of your customers. Maybe 100K or something. And you are extremely happy and you just want to spoil the child that day. And you say, ask me anything. Auntie, you didn't actually ask you anything. Wait. I want to ask. Auntie, I want a very big candy. And you feel disappointed like, So that's the only thing you can ask. You can't blame the child. That's all that the child can think. So in a conference like this, it's important I school you on how to have a balanced expectation when you meet with a great man of God. Baba Debo said in the 70s, late 70s, when most African pastors were going to Papa Egan, he also went to Egan in the early 80s. And he said many pastors in Nigeria and other African countries, and even in the United States, they all came to meet Papa Egan. So when they now sat down, they want to see Papa Egan in his office, they sat down. Baba Adeboye said, so Egan came out and said, you, what do you want? Say, I want you to give me permission to be selling your books in Nigeria. He told his PO, yeah, grant him. You, sir, I want to give him permission for me to be selling your tapes in Nigeria. Okay, all right, let him go. So, what do you want? I want to have opportunity to be attending the camp meeting every year. Okay, permission. It was just like giving them free tickets that day. And he got Baba Adeboye. Baba Adeboye said, well, I want you to lay hands on me. I want double portion. He went for something spiritual. See, a lot of people, all the things, those that wanted to get permission to be selling books, did they not sell it? Did they not make the money? Is any of them richer than Adeboye today? That man is just quiet, though. He's stinkingly rich. Own below Babayan, bad money. The way you see him, my daddy taught me. You see him just shake that shekere. Big man with big money, but such a humble heart. One of his sons, I don't want to mention his name, that is among the most richest pastors in the world, said, if I have half of Adeboye's money, I will misbehave. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm preparing your mind so that you can have a balanced expectation. So let me tell you a story. There was a rich man in scripture. His name is called Kish. So this rich man had a lot of donkeys. So something strange occurred one particular day. He woke up and found out that all the donkeys have strayed out of their pens. And so he called one of his sons, called Saul, and said, Saul, come. I want you to go search out for these donkeys. So one of the servants followed him. So they searched and searched everywhere looking for the strayed donkeys. They traveled and they searched all the lands of Ephraim. They even went as far to a land called Zuph, Z-U-P-H. They couldn't find it. It was getting dark now. It was getting late in the night. So Saul told the servant, he says, guy, we need to start going back home because it's getting dark so that our dad will not switch his panic for the donkey on us. Those days, there were no phone, there were no answers for him to call them how far in a day. So the servant says, oh, by the way, it's like, well, this is Zuph, right? Oh, there is a seer in a town called Ramah, which is just not far away from here. Since we're already in Zuph, let's just take the courage to go to the land and ask for the seer. Because those days, prophets were called seers. So as they got to the land, you know what happened? They were asking about, we're looking for the seer, we're looking for the seer. So the man they were speaking with was actually the seer called Samuel. Are you the seer? So when they got to the land, they were asking about, we're looking for the seer. Then one guy said, oh, you're looking for the seer? He just passed this road now. He's going for a banquet. And those in the banquet are waiting for him because they wouldn't eat until he comes to bless the food. He says, oh, he followed this way. So they ran and increased their pace to catch up with him. As God will have it, they caught up with the man. His name is Samuel. So they asked, sir, we're looking for the seer. He says, I am the seer. But a day before that, God has spoken in the ear of Samuel that the guy Saul was coming. And something remarkable happened. Don't forget, he was going to that seer so that the seer will help him, will tell him where those stray donkeys are. True? But guess what? He met something different. The seer said, you're looking for stray donkeys. He says, by the way, those stray donkeys have returned to their pens. But follow me for the banquet. Because there was something more powerful, more important than those stray donkeys. Let me read to you from the Message translation. 1 Samuel 9, verse 19. He says, I am the seer, said Samuel. I am the seer, said Samuel. Accompany me to the shrine and eat with me. In the morning, I will tell you all that about what is on your mind, and I will send you on your way. That means come with me for the dinner. The next morning, I will let you go. And by the way, someone say, by the way. So Samuel looks back and says, follow me for the banquet. By the way, the donkeys you were looking for, they've gone back to their pens. Look at it. He says, by the way, your lost donkeys, the ones you've been hunting for, the last 3 days have been found. So don't worry about them. He now says, at this moment, Israel's future is in your hand. So Saul came looking for donkeys. But Samuel now is telling him that, as for the donkeys, by the way, somebody say, by the way. So the donkeys were by the way, they were secondary. He says, look, as for the donkeys, they've gone back to their pens. But now Israel's future is in your hand. He's about to become a king. So he came looking for donkeys, but he returned with oil on his head. He returned as a king. Now, pay attention. I am not encouraging you to let go of all your earthly and mundane desires you want from God. He's a good father. And that's even the very reason why he will settle that quickly, so that you can focus on things of destiny. Yeah, I need money for my school fees. Hey, babe, my body is paining me, my head aches. Don't worry. All those are going to be sorted out. But more importantly, make sure you return with an encounter with the Word. With an encounter with a seed of destiny planted into your life. That's why Faith Life Conference is meant for. To plant a seed in your heart. So that you are going, so that after Faith Life Conference, you are returning with things of eternal value. That will change your destiny forever. So you must have a balanced expectation in Faith Life Conference. Don't just be about looking for the donkeys. I don't care what the donkey may represent in your own life. It could be finances, it could be relationship. Don't worry, God is going to solve it. But more importantly, focus on the big thing. The encounter you will get that will help you become all that God has earmarked for you. That will make you stand perfect in all the will of God. The impartation that will come through the preaching of the word and through the prophetic utterances that will be spoken. That is the most important thing. Issues of destiny. That's why Faith Life Conference was instituted, by the way. Hallelujah. And that will lead me to the next thing I would like to share briefly. Before I continue, I noticed Mr. Andrew just came in. Can we celebrate him? Thank you, sir. He's one of our. He's taking over from me for the breakout session. Hallelujah. So I want to share with you quickly in just a few minutes before I round off. The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. It's an important subject for Faith Life Conference. The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. Galatians 3. Can you give it to me? Galatians 3 and verse 1. Galatians 3 and verse 1. Galatians 3 and verse 1. He says, you crazy Galatians. You are not Galatians. Say loud amen. Yeah. You crazy Galatians. Did someone put an X on you? Like, did somebody curse you? Then swear for you. That's what he's telling them. Have you taken, give me King James Bible so that we don't cause trouble today. This is church. Give me New King James Version. He says, all you foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? All you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I would want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So he's questioning their foolishness for turning away from how they received the things of the Spirit. And he makes a remarkable statement. He says, did you receive the things of the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, the way you receive the things of the Spirit is by the hearing of faith. So now I'm sharing with you the hearing of faith very briefly, just to prepare you for Faith Life Conference. Somebody said the hearing of faith. Say it again. So he says, did you receive the things of the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, you see, the character, the nature, and the power of God are actually ministered and received through words. All through the scripture, in salvation, in miracles, and even in receiving of spiritual resources to mobilize spiritual assignments, they are actually received by words. So therefore, the most important thing in the school of faith is what you hear and how you hear. What we say and how we say it. So if words are the most powerful commodity, then the onus is now on you to make sure that in this conference, you are ready to take a hold of the word. That should be your greatest priority in this conference. See, everything that God did in Christ, he has given as the Spirit. And that Spirit that he has given came to us through certain words, certain body of truth that we heard. It therefore means that the character, the nature, and the power of God is ministered and received through words. Certain words. So it therefore means that the greatest thing to pay attention to in a conference like this is what is said, how you hear, what you hear. Because everything God will do, including supply of the Spirit, in salvation, in miracles, in healings, and even in the supply of spiritual resources to mobilize your divine assignment, they will come through words. So, in a meeting like this, it is therefore important that you personally decide to pay of the utmost attention on words. Words that will be taught. Things that will be said. Cut off every form of distraction so that you can hear, because it is in hearing that the miracles occur. It is in the hearing. Honestly, I can explain it in my many years of doing ministry, that you would announce an event that occurred 2,000 years ago and someone on the other hand, someone on the other end, hears it through whatever medium. You may not even have to be in the same room with them. It could be on the internet. And then they feel the effect of the reality of the words that you spoke. I can't explain it. It's a miracle. But it has pleased God that it should be that simple. That I will preach what happened 2,000 years ago, and the reality of what I preached becomes an experience in the life of the one hearing it. The hearing of faith. It's so important. It is how we got saved. We heard the word of faith that was preached. Come on, talk to me. This is how you get healed. You hear the word of God spoken. He sent a word to them. Psalms 107 and verse 20. And he healed them from all their destruction. The word of faith. So, in ministering the things of the Spirit, whether in salvation, in miracles, or even in supply of supernatural abilities to mobilize divine destiny, it all comes through words. So pay attention to words spoken in prophecy, in teachings. That should be your focus throughout Faith Life Conference. Maybe I should show you a couple of things that will help you. Look at the book of Acts 14. Let's just look at something that will close. Acts 14. I'm just preparing the road for Faith Life Conference. This is not a session. This is just a preamble. But are you getting blessed? Good. Examples of words. I want to show you how words are examples. How words are mobilizing agents for destiny. Act 14. Give it to me. Are you there? Act 14 and verse 7. He says, now I want us to read together. Act 14, verse 7. We're going to read from verse 7 to 10. I'll read 7, you read the next. Are we ready? Come on, are we ready? And they were preaching the gospel there. That means Paul and his disciple and his follower, they were preaching the gospel there. Next, read. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving he had faith to be healed. So, please, who's projecting my own? I'm not seeing my own screen. Amen? So now, if you look at this scripture very well, the Bible says in verse 7 that they went there and preached what? The gospel. Someone say the gospel. The gospel. Hear me. They preached what? The gospel. So Paul did three things. Write it down. In this. So a miracle occurred there, right? A guy was impotent in his feet. Come on, talk to me. Did the miracle occur there?
Yes.
Now let's see how the miracle occurred. Let's see it. Paul did three things. The man did three things as well. Number one, Paul preached the gospel to the man. Somebody say preached. So he preached the word of faith to the man. He preached the word to the man. Two, Paul perceived the man had faith to be healed. Did you see that? I'm not sure that in verse 9. He says, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. So Paul preached. Somebody say Paul preached. And Paul perceived the guy had faith to be healed. Number three, Paul exercised or mobilized the spirit by saying, rise up and walk. So what are three things Paul did? Paul preached. He perceived the man had faith to be healed. And then he said, rise up. Right? Now let's look at the three things the man did. The impotent man heard the word. Come on. Let's go back to verse 7. Verse 7. And there they preached the gospel. Verse 8. Verse 8 says, and there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Verse 9. The same heard Paul. Somebody say heard Paul. So number one thing he did was what? He heard Paul. What did he hear Paul saying? Preaching the gospel. Are you following me, church? He heard Paul preaching the gospel, the hearing of faith. Then the next thing the impotent man did was, when he heard the word, what happened? Don't forget, Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes how? By hearing. So because Paul preached the word, the man heard the word, the man, number two, the man had the faith to be healed. Don't forget, Paul perceived the man had faith to be healed. How did the man have the faith to be healed? Come on. By what?
By hearing
the word. Who preached the word? Paul. So the number two thing the man did was that he had faith to be healed. Because, number one, he heard the word. Come on. Then the last thing the man did was that the impotent man leaped and walked. Now, see, in mathematics, what I just showed you now is what we call simultaneous equation. But in this case, where you have six variables, you know, it can become, don't let me stress you, because many of you don't even like mathematics. So, but the point is, if A equals to B equals to C, that means A also equals to C. Come on. Are you following me? So it's very simple. So there is no magic here. Paul preached. Come on. Paul preached. Paul perceived the man had faith to be healed. Then Paul says, get up. The man heard Paul preached. The man had faith to be healed. Where did the man got the faith he had? From hearing. For Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes out by hearing the word. Then again, the man leaped when he heard Paul say, get up. Come on. So that means the things of the spirits in miracles, in salvation, they are ministered and received through words. Words spoken, words heard. It therefore means that one of the most important things you must take cognizance of in this conference is the commodity words. Because the nature, the character, and the power of God are ministered and received through words in salvation, in miracles, and even in the receiving of supernatural enablement to mobilize divine destiny. They all come through words. So words are everything. Words is everything. Everything in the kingdom. So in this conference, you should be ready to receive the word because God will minister to you through words. In the breakout session, today and tomorrow, it could be a simple analogy. You see, a lot of people in Christianity always miss the supernatural in sight of the spectacular. For instance, God speaks to us every day. See, I hear God every day. But the problem is, it's either you have a poor theology about hearing God, or you are overtly looking for something spectacular. Listen, if God, if God could speak to Pharaoh, a Gentile king, the Bible tells us that now God has spoken to Pharaoh about what he's about to do. If God could speak to Pharaoh, a Gentile king, why don't you think God cannot speak to you, his child? Maybe because of the wrong things you've done before, you think you can't hear God anymore. That's not true. Listen, God is a master communicator. He can speak to you. Listen, don't box God. I understand a very good number of you grew up believing all the things that Nollywood portrays to you. Nollywood helps you assume that the way God speaks is going to just shout from heaven, "My daughter." He doesn't work all that way. Sometimes God will speak to you through the teaching of your pastor. How many of you ever wanted to see me for counseling? Then after teaching, you didn't need to see me again. You see, God speaks, God multiplies the visions of the prophet. That's what the Bible says. So it could be doing simple analogy if you pay attention. Because there is nothing new under the earth. Because those that will be having the breakout session, they'll be sharing personal story with you first before they go into question and answering. And before you'll be given the opportunity to ask your questions. Pay attention. Listen, life, this life is in cycles. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
There is nothing happening now that has not happened before. See, look, you can learn from other people's mistakes, but you are not permitted to learn from your own mistakes. Because there is no time for you to make up for it. That's why relationships are important, because now you can leverage on those who have gone ahead. That's why it is never God's design to train us by experience. God's primary way to train us is by instruction. So he says, "My son, take hold of instruction." Proverbs 4 verse 13. He says, "Take hold of instruction. Keep her, let her not go." Like Maria, like hold on to her. The way I'm holding on to my wife till Jesus comes. Hold on to her. He says, "Take fast hold." Now, this is tautology. Because what is the meaning of "take fast hold"? Just repetition to say the same thing, right? He says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. For she's what? She's what? She's your life." The word of God. So, you know, in English language, there's something we call personification. A figure of speech. I don't know if you know it. Good. So now, he's personifying instruction. And gives the instruction agenda. I think this is beautiful, right? Feminists that are saying that the Bible is a misogynistic material. I don't have time for them today. They should go and be fighting all those crazy scientists that give feminine names to chaos in the world. They give them nice names. Cyclone, hurricane, they'll be very nice names. Female names, Jacinta. How can I be giving hurricane beautiful female names? These are the things you feminists should be fighting against. You see how God calls instruction. All through scripture, you will notice how God personifies beautiful things, right? Come on, talk to me, right? He calls the body of Christ his bride. Isn't that wonderful? Take firm hold of instruction. So, listen, listen. All through the conference, if there's something you should pay attention to more, whatever your donkeys are that you are looking for, they are met already. I said, those needs are met already.
Amen.
Is it healing in your body? Is it insight about the future? Is it the strength, the technical know-how on what to do, how to do, where to do, with whom to do, what to do, whatever it is. It is you seeking for relationship or supernatural help or divine help for whatever reason, in whichever way you want it. They are met already. And just to let you know that we're not trying to say don't give attention to that, so that God is not a replacement. God will do it quickly so that you can focus more on destiny. Like Saul, God said, listen, Samuel said, he said, listen, as for the pens, they have gone to their, as for the stray donkeys, they've gone back to their pens. Flew me for the banquet. Because now the destiny of Israel is in your hands. So, you can see how words is so important in receiving miracles. Let's see another example in salvation. Acts 10 and verse 5. Act 10 and verse 5. He says, now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. So here was a man who was not born again. He prays, gives alms, and an angel appears to him and says, send men to Joppa, who shall tell you what to do. And guess what? In chapter 11 and verse 14, the Bible tells us in Act 11 and verse 14, look at what the Bible says. He says, now this is Peter now relaying the incidents. He says, that man had a vision, and he says, go fetch the man Peter. Who will tell you what? Answer me. Who will tell you what? Who will tell you what? Who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be what? Now we can see the importance of words in receiving the miraculous. We can see importance of words in receiving salvation. Come on. So words are everything. See, the coming of Jesus happened through words. God was the first person to prophesy about coming of Jesus. In Genesis 3:15, he says, the seed of a woman will bruise your head, talking to Satan. We all know a woman does not have a seed. What a woman has is egg. So he was prophesying about the coming of Jesus. And he kept prophesying, until Isaiah 2 came. In fact, Isaiah got it so close and even gave him the name Emmanuel. It still did not happen until 500 years later. So that's why Jesus says, in the volume of book, it is written of me to do your will. So Jesus was actually the word became flesh. Come on. Everything God did, he did with words. So when the preacher begins to preach or during the breakout session, pay attention, listen, look up everybody. Medical science will tell you there are two ears. There is outer ear and inner ear. Come on. The first time you hear a thing, you hear with your outside ear. Have you ever noticed that when you say something, it is recorded? If you listen to yourself, you're like, was I the one that spoke like this? Because when you first said it, it was your outer ear that said it. When you're hearing it again, it's your inner ear. So after the whole conference, get all the tapes. Go and listen again and again. Amen. So pay attention to the words that will be said. So what do you do to make the most of Faith Life Conference? Two things, then I close. Two things you must do to make the most of Faith Life Conference. Number one, okay, let me just summarize it from Proverbs 4 and verse 20. I'll talk more on this in the session that I'll be preaching tomorrow. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. So number one thing you do, give God's word your attentive ear. Write it. Give God's word your attentive ear in Faith Life Conference. Don't forget where we began. We said, everything that will be ministered and received will be by what? Come on, talk to me. By what? Words. So give God's word your attentive ear. That means don't be mind blank. Don't be mind absent. See, this time you have, if I were you, I would give all the attention and listen keenly, listen clearly. For example, now, the man of God that will be sharing with us, you know, during the breakout session by 12 noon today, all right? As he begins to talk about the story, how he started as a graduate trainee in the year 2000, where many of you are still crawling, amen. All right, in 6 years, he rose to being an assistant manager in bank, moved to another bank. That's what we call growth horizontally. Then he moved to another bank. From there, he became area manager of another bank, traveled out of the country, came back again, secured it again, until when he resigned, started his own business. See, and you find out that this same man studied engineering. So you find out, what is engineering doing in bank? Amen. Now, the first time I heard him telling me about this, the first thing that came to my mind is how much we have limited ourselves by our course that we study in school. So in stories, don't forget, in the story of Abraham taking his son to sacrifice his son, we find is Jesus' crucifixion there. Come on. So in stories, you see a word there. Pay attention. You hear with your ear, but you perceive with your heart. So pay attention. So give God's word your attentive ear. Verse 21, what does it say? It says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Number two, give God's word a steadfast look. A steadfast look. Then lastly, it says, keep them in the midst of your heart. That means meditate on it. Give God's word your meditative heart. What are the three things you do with God's word? One, it's like only a few people are answering. What is the number one thing you do with God's word? Number two? Number three? Your meditative heart. Meditate on the word. Then number two, that was number one, all right? What to do to make the most of Faith Life Conference. Number two, flow with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't be too rigid. See, the things of the Spirit works with people who are free. Just be free. If the man of God says, jump, jump. If he says, dance, dance. If he says, glory, respond, glory. Don't be cold. Participate, that's what I mean. Somebody say, participate. Participate. Say it again. Participate. Say it again. Participate. Did you know how the wall of Jericho came down? Have you read about it? How many of you have read about how the wall of Jericho came down? They were to go around Jericho six times. The seventh time, they were to make a shout. If they made a shout, if they had made that shout the fifth time, nothing will happen to Jericho. There is something about sound. I wish I would talk about this some other time. There is something about sound. The advent of the Spirit came by a sound. So if he says shout, shout. Now, I can't explain. There is no physics that can explain how a wall so thick that somebody built a house on it. Don't forget, Rahab's house was on the fence. It's not this now and this fence where they put small coach. This was, see, Bible historians told us that two lorries can walk on the wall, two lorries, without touching each other. The wall of Jericho. And sound. What, I studied physics, I did some physics courses up to my 500 level. I even did acoustics as a borrowed course. There is no acoustics physics or even quantum physics that can explain how sound, human sound, what kind of pitch will bring down wall. It's just instruction. The prophet told the military general, go and dip yourself inside a river that is so dirty. He was so angry that, there are beautiful rivers you could have asked me to go and swim in now. I'm a military general. The servant of that military general says, Oga, go where you see me, you go. If you won't get healed. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you can make prayer cycles. See, all things that are inspired by the Spirit, they all have the same effect. So whatever you do in words, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. In words or in deeds. Sometimes it could be when you are dancing, you notice that, oh, that pain is gone. Come on. So always obey every instruction. If he comes down and says, somebody shout amen. Don't say amen. Say amen. See, if I were you, I would sit at the edge of the chair, ready for instruction. Amen.
Amen.
That's how you make the most. So flow with the Spirit. If he says, ha 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 ha, you should say, ha 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 ha. See, look. That's how you minister the things of the Spirit. I'm telling you, I'm a prophet of God. I know what I'm saying. I can have like 10 people on the sick line that I want to pray for. Many times you've noticed, right? I can say, you healed. This one, I blow hair. This one, I don't blow hair. This one, I even take time to cancel. This one, I just remove my clothes. Have you seen me sometimes? I remove my clothes and put on someone. I don't put on others. It is called supply of the Spirit. The Spirit of God tells you to do one thing at the spur of moment. Okay, how do you explain Jesus goes to Bethsaida, and he sees rendezvous of broken humanities, and he walks to only one woman? The Bible says that there are many broke widows in Zarephath. None was sent to except the woman of Zarephath. These are the things of the Spirit. So flow with the Spirit. Amen? So if the man of God says, lift your hands, lift your hands. Look, it doesn't hurt. Obey. Just lift your hands. If he says, lift your hands, lift your hands. Don't forget, it was in lifting of hands that the children of Israel began to conquer their enemy. When Moses was lifting his hands. When you notice that anytime Moses raised his hand, they were winning the battle. You know what they did? They took two men to hold his hand. Those men, they are only just to hold his hand so that they can have victory. So whatever he says, do. You know the shortest message ever preached in scripture by Mary? And it has the most powerful potency. In John 2, he says, whatever he tells you to do. They needed a miracle for wine in a party. Interestingly, I love Jesus. His first miracle was not healing. His first miracle was prosperity. Yeah, I don't like that prosperity message. You're in the wrong place. Because we have, don't worry, on Sunday I'll do a teaching that will help you see why you must be prosperous. The first miracle Jesus did, he turned water to NSE. Say, ah, no, it's not this kind of wine. The Bible says, shut up, were you there? Wine is wine. It was a party. Don't you think? I don't know what some people think. It wasn't the church. It was a party. Jesus was invited to a party. A wedding party. Amen? Amen. Wine finished. So they came to Jesus' mom. And Jesus' mom noticed. And he says, come. Go to my son. He will do it. But whatever he tells you. If you read that scripture, do you know the water they turned to wine that day? It was dirty water. See, in the Jewish tradition, they used to put water outside to wash their leg because the East is always dirty. You know, it's desert. Come on. Yes, if you read Genesis, you will see when Abraham saw those men coming. He says, please come, let me wash your feet. Have you read in scriptures consistently where they will say, please let me wash your feet? Ablution was normal in the East. It's because there's always dust. My mom told me to do it. Anytime I go and play football when I was small, she would say, before you climb that stairs, that dirty leg, don't break into this house. I've been cleaning this house since. Or I'll cut the popo. You didn't come in here without it. I don't know if you watch media. Oh, I'm not cut the popo. You cut the popo. Why you cut the popo in the 9 minutes before popo come out? I'll whip your ass. That's my mom. Whip your ass. You go. You better clean that leg before you climb upstairs. So that was the way East were. You don't carry dirty leg into the house. So it was the water where they had pots outside to wash leg. It was that dirty water that they fetched from. Jesus says, fetch from me to go and give the MC. But Jesus has warned, the mom has warned them, whatever he tells you to do. They just carry the water like that. It was when the MC fetched it and drank it, and he says, ow, ah, oh, mom. Why did you keep the best wine for the end of the party? Mind you, it was not out of scarcity because there was wine. Ah, God wants lavishness. There was wine. They've drank wine. Everybody has drank wine, finished. It's not as if there was no wine at all. They just needed some more. They want okpo, 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 okpo. You know, they just want plenty. It is plenty. It's much. That was all. Listen. You know, I heard Pastor Paul Enenche give an analysis. He says, do you know how many stars are in the sky? Billions. Don't you ever think of scarcity when you think of God? What does he want to do with billions of stars, galaxies? Now you see why he could build 100,000 capacity. See, let me tell you, what the difference between a pastor of 100 and a pastor of 100,000 is in between their ears. The difference is something in between their ears. Is their mind. That's one of the greatest tools we must work on. Your mind. What can you see? As far as your eyes can see. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift your hands and thank him. Lift your hands and thank him. Thank him for the word. Thank him for the word. Say, Lord, I'm taking everything you have for me in Faith Life Conference. Everything you have for me in Faith Life Conference. I'm taking it. Nothing will elude me. I'm taking everything you have for me in Faith Life Conference. Everything you have for me in the Faith Life Conference, I'm taking it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today, Lord. Lord, we pray that as we go into the next session at 12, we pray that wisdom that is required for us to make successful transition in our career, we receive. Let there be utterance for the preacher, and let our eyes of understanding be enlightened. In Jesus' name we pray.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.